It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here, as usual, on this somewhat gloomy but not really unpleasant morning in Northeast Florida. I'll take a lot like this. When you look around the country and you see what your alternatives are, this just looks better and better and better.
A little sunshine would go a long way
today. It would, but we'll maybe get that. Who knows? Anyway, here we are for the hour. We got a lot to talk about. I'm going to do my best to drag my feet so that we can put off the market wrap as long as possible, obviously. It wasn't a very fun week in the markets. But I'll let Adam get to that in a minute. First off, I want to welcome everybody. You regulars, thanks for always being here. You're the reason we do this. And if you're new to the show, because you got told or we told you or you found it or left your radio on or whatever the reason, matters not to me, as long as you stick around for a while, and I promise you'll learn something before it's over. And I would say, based on the way our business is growing lately, there must be a lot of new people listening to the show. Something sure triggering it, and that makes us very happy. So the longer we do this, and I'm ready to wrap up. At the end of next month, we'll wrap up 8 years and go into year 9. Hardly seems possible.
Yeah, that it does. I can't believe we're in December, much less almost year 9.
Yeah, let's see. It was
thank you.
It was July, and then it was November. And in between there, something happened, I think, but I can't.
Strange.
But yeah, around our house, we laugh sort of every Thursday night because we say Thursday night rolls around every 3 days or so. That is truly about how it feels. In fact, Sarah was mentioning yesterday, it was Wednesday. Anyway, Thursday. I don't know. I get them all mixed up. Anyway, we're looking at the full moon that was absolutely stunningly beautiful. She said, it was just full a week ago. And I said, no, it was actually full 28 days ago. But that is truly how fast time has been flying lately. So we must be having fun. That's all I can figure. Anyway, I suppose we have to do this one way or the other, but I'll let Adam look at what was a very lackluster to poor week. It had one little bright spot in it that I thought might take hold, and it didn't.
No, it was pretty bad. And if you track charts, it was really bad for the S&P 500. Last week, we saw the S&P 500 surge over its 200-day moving average on strong buying volume, and that was when inflation looked to be coming down. But this week brought stronger than expected economic data, which was met by a wave of selling, and that saw the S&P fall right back below that moving average line. Not a great sign.
Nope.
Not at all, actually.
It's a retreat.
Yep. When moving averages get tested like that and fail, it's not good. It usually means for the short term anyway, we're in for a little bit more pain. And it was exactly what I was worried about last week might happen. And
you were very adamant about that, actually.
Yeah. If it had gone the other way, that would have been a very positive sign. But that isn't what happened. But on the other hand, you have the Dow, which also sold off this week, but is actually very close to a golden cross. Now, a golden cross is when the 50-day moving average crosses from below to above the 200-day moving average. And there's usually a caveat in there that has to take place when the market is rising. So that's not happening today. But if we were to see buying next week in the Dow, you would almost certainly see that phenomenon happen. And that's usually considered a very bullish signal. So I don't know. It's kind of an important time period for...
Speaking of time periods, there's an interesting juxtaposition there a little bit too, because next week we're still in the first half of December, which is notoriously weak, but the second half of December is notoriously strong. So if it takes a week to do that, don't be shocked.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think it's as clear cut as first and second half, but I think if you saw strong buying next week and a golden cross on the Dow, I'd be a little excited about the near-term prospects for the market. If we saw that on the Dow, we'd probably see buying on the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 as well.
Oh, yeah. So contagion. So,
yeah, that would be a very positive sign. So this isn't the end of the world scenario that I'm painting here. There is definitely still hope. It just wasn't great that the S&P tested its upper limit and kind of bounced off of it and went back down. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, the chart looks pretty terrible. It's bouncing along its 50-day moving average, which is well below the 200. It's made no attempt to break above its 200-day, and it's just the worst-looking chart of the three. So we'll see what happens from here. It's really tough to say. There is not a lot of enthusiasm for technology stocks right now. As with the rest of this year, much of the volatility has been brought to you by your friends at the Fed. This week was no different. Investors are trying to determine what the rate hike will be next year and just how bad it's going to be. Are we looking at 50 basis points? Will that change based on the CPI report on Tuesday? A weaker than expected CPI report could change the commentary that the Fed makes, but I think the 50 basis points is all but guaranteed.
Yeah, the problem with all of this, it's so insidious when it gets going, is that just what you said, if it comes in whatever, then expectations. We've got all these experts, I use air quotes on that one, out there expecting things, and everybody listens to them. And if they would expect a little less, everything would be fine. But they expect too much, don't get it, and then the market sells out. It's nuts.
Well, in this case, it's the opposite, though. They expect too little, and then it comes in higher. And
good or bad is better than less or little, because good and bad can be high or low.
But the problem with the Fed, too, is they're making decisions about things that take way longer than 6 weeks to filter through the economy, and they're making those decisions every 6 weeks. So all the 75 basis point rate hikes they've done this year, you haven't even begun to see the effects of that. Financial things take a long time to filter through.
Most of them 9 to 12 months.
And so they're making decisions about whether or not they've been successful in their monetary policy well before the data is in. And so I think at this point a halt in hikes would be appropriate. We're seeing the data turnover. You can see that inflation has peaked and is coming back down the other side, but they're just not willing to stop doing damage until they see it finalized. But that could be 6 months from now.
It'll be too late.
Yep.
We'll be in a deep there. I'm sure you're going to say the word yield curve pretty soon.
I've talked about it so much recently. Nothing's changed there. It's still inverted.
Well, it's worse.
Yeah, it's gotten worse. Yeah. It's not going to get better until we officially declare recession.
The way it is right now, the shape it's in right now, we have never avoided recession when it's been this bad.
Correct. So, personally, I honestly think we're in a recession. Look at, you've got the economy clearly going the wrong direction. The stock market's awful. Yep. The housing market is grinding to a halt. And I think we're in a recession already. We had one good quarter out of the last three. This one could easily be the wrong direction. I don't see what they're trying to accomplish at this point. We're already headed into trouble.
Yes. And I have a little thing. I guess this is going to make everybody feel better. I'm not sure. The top on my note says, think things are bad here. I've got some news for you, too. And this is, it's really insidious what's going on in the world today. And we'll talk about it, but sure doesn't make anybody happy.
Hmm.
Meanwhile, after the break, we will have, as usual, a trivia question that we'll throw out. We still got to decide which one for sure. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Banaway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Banaway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Banaway.
And I'm Adam Banaway.
And we have a trivia question. Adam and I have been going over a bunch of this stuff. It's kind of humorous, actually. But anyway, as usual, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can give Ken a call at 904-636-7888. Now, as much as some of these things are really, really interesting and have deep-seated meaning, I'm not really going to do that. I'm going to do one a little bit different. How bad is it this year in the NASDAQ? It's bad. It's real bad. And in fact, for the first 10 days of December, there are only 2 years that the NASDAQ has started off December worse than this year, and they happen to be back-to-back. What were those years?
or you can just guess one of them correctly.
Get one, that, I'll that give you count. The other one. That I like that a lot. So, right, they even worse than this year in the NASDAQ has happened. So there's nothing really new under the sun, right?
No, there usually isn't.
No. All right. Well, do we want to talk any more about the market?
Yeah, I did want to point out a few more things. Despite the lack of a Santa Claus rally so far, there is a little bit of a silver lining. We did see some positive news in the bond market as falling rates have given bond prices a boost, and actually a pretty substantial one. If you look at TLT, long treasury, we've been telling everyone how bad that particular ETF has been this year, and it is bad. It was down over 30% at one point, but it recently has come off its low, and it's up almost 17%, which is a pretty crazy rebound in bond prices.
Yeah.
But then again, the bond yield on the 10-year is not quite a full point down, but it is pretty close to it just in really recently, in the last month or two. So as those bond yields fall, we've definitely seen bond prices go up. It's one of the few areas that we've seen with positive returns in December. The other are China and Hong Kong. And the reason for that is really surprising. And I admit I got this wrong. I did not think they would back off of their zero COVID policy, and they have. Very, very surprising to see that the Communist Party has admitted that they were wrong. That just doesn't happen very often.
Funny what a few million people rioting in the streets will do to you.
That may have had something to do with it. So
never forget that members of the Communist Party in China, they, out of their population of about 1.4 billion, 6.8% of the people belong to the Communist Party. The rest of them are enemies.
Well, that is true, but they are under the control of
that
party.
Oh, they absolutely are. But he's got to pay attention to that when millions of people are rioting.
This is true. It was very surprising that they had other ways they could go with that. They could have clamped down on the riots with military force, and obviously that wouldn't paint a great picture for the world, but let's just say that it is not without precedent to have happened in China.
Would have been dubbed Tiananmen too.
Yep, for sure. So that is an area that has improved. And commodities, there's a couple, gold and silver, they're up in December, but with oil, gas, and agricultural commodities falling in December, the commodity space overall has taken quite a beating. So the despite the precious metals rallying, the other parts have not been great.
Yeah. The dollar is sliding back. Actually, it's been fairly sharp lately, which boosts the price of the metals. It helps.
One of the reasons for the decline this week was the November producer price index data from BLS, which actually came in hotter than expected. One of the reasons was food prices, which showed an annualized gain of 50% during the month.
Yeah.
So not an actual gain of 50% year over year, but if you annualize the November data, that's what you would get. It was the highest increase since the COVID shock to prices in early 2020. And
I bet there's not a soul listening who fails to believe that, having been to Publix or whatever lately. Right?
But on the other side of the inflation debate, the number of commodities in short supply fell from 59 in 2021 to 15 this month. So the average pre-COVID was 5, so we're not quite back there, but certainly a huge improvement. And then we're seeing price declines in commodities, with oil and natural gas leading the way. Oil is down 34% year-to-date. Natural gas is down 35% from its high. And wheat, which peaked at $1,300 per bushel, is now down 43% from that peak. So
that one is important.
Commodities definitely headed the other direction. I think it's pretty clear, despite the PPI report, that inflation is coming down.
Oh, I think it's very clear. On the other hand, it's going to hover for a while. It has to, because there's things built in. More on that in a minute, too. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you, Mr. Van Wee?
Just excellent, thank you. What can we do for you today?
Well, I'm going to take a shot at the trivia question, and I know I'm wrong because it just seems too easy.
Shoot.
That's never the way you guys do this. So I'll say 2001 because of the dot-com bubble burst.
Well, That was too easy. I don't do things like that.
Nah. That's what I figured.
But I like your thinking.
I'll go out there. I'll save somebody else from embarrassing themselves, and I'll take the I'll take one for the team.
Yeah, at least we can say, well, things have been worse than they are right now.
Yeah, and Ron, if it makes you feel any better, that was my first guess too.
That's
so
right.
You're not the only one.
Logic doesn't always control the market, though, does it?
Very good. Well, thank you so much, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Have a Merry Christmas if I don't talk to you.
Same to you.
Bye-bye. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
By the way, as far as I know, we will be here every Saturday for the rest of this year. Looking at Tom and there, he's got a smirk on his face. I don't know if he was making plans like that or not.
No, I wasn't. But no. Okay. We're good. We're totally good. I'm believing.
Well, you know, year end in our business, year end is kind of a significant time. And with 1 week left in between Christmas and New Year's, there are still things you can do. And at the end of that, when you can't do it for this year, there's still things you can do that bleed over to next year. So there, all is not lost just because it gets late in the year, and we would really sincerely love to do the show. And I speak for at least half of us here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Adam's nodding too. Yeah. I know you're not going anywhere.
Well, actually, I am. I have a couple of trips planned. One I would call in for, the other one I may actually miss, but we'll talk about that later.
No problem. Anyway, I have no plans that would involve me going anywhere else. So just off the cuff. Anyway, the lines are still open, 904-222-8255, and the trivia question is still out there. When did the NASDAQ open the first few days of December even worse than it has this year, which is really a mess? And we know it's not 2001. There are 2 years are back to back. Okay, I want to finish up anything.
That was it. Okay. Really, there was some other economic data this week. It was largely as expected. The data has been, I would say, mixed to less to not good.
Yeah.
Somewhere in between those. It hasn't been flat out terrible. The economy has been surprisingly resilient this year. And I think that's sort of the theme of the year, is that every time you think things are terrible, the data comes in and it says, well, it wasn't as bad as we thought. And that trend is continuing into the new year, apparently.
Mm-hmm. I said I had a little note about the whole inflationary outlook. I've got an article from ThinkAdvisor here, and you probably wouldn't react to it the way I would react to it. Most people wouldn't. It says, stock strategist says we'll see 5% inflation for the next decade. And, you know, 5% for the next decade, that's not totally unreasonable. His logic is that the inflation has caused wage increases, and those wage increases are causing inflation, and the wage increases are not going to back down. Therefore, they're going to be built into prices for a long time to come. And if you noticed yesterday with the PPI number, the core was at 0.4, I guess, expected 0.2% up. And I think that's reflecting right now wages. There's another stat in the market this week, too, that I thought was interesting. Most of the inflation is coming down on the goods end and rising in the services end. And services, of course, has a major component in wages. So I think what we're seeing is this makes some sense. I wouldn't say he's an idiot for saying it would be 5% for the next decade, but I would say he's an idiot for predicting anything for a decade.
Yeah.
There is absolutely no sense to me in making a decade-long prediction. In weather forecasting, after 3 days, the forecast is pretty much junk, unless you say, well, in January, it's going to be colder in Wisconsin. That's out there further. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Lots to say yet. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
We apologize for a little confusion at the end of the second segment because the computer was giving us some kind of weird signals. But we performed a little percussive maintenance on it, and it'll be fine as soon as the bruises heal.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. All right, we've got a caller on the line, but first I want to remind everybody that the trivia question is out there, and perhaps this call will include a shot at that. Very simply, this, no matter how bad the NASDAQ is in the first part of December, and it's bad, believe me, there have been 2 years back-to-back that it was even worse. Get any one of them right, you win. Good morning, Marshall.
I'll take a shot at 2007.
2007, that would not be right, unfortunately.
Okay.
That was my second guess,
Marshall. That was his second guess. Yeah. Everybody out there is thinking like Adam today.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that, believe me.
I understand.
Yeah, okay.
We discussed the shocking raise of interest rates for the whole year. Let me tell you a personal story of how impactful that can be.
Do.
We've all seen what's happened to our favorite small family restaurant and how they've been impacted over the last several years.
Yep.
As of November 30th was my last day with a company that in 8 years had grown from 50 of us to 600 of us.
Yeah, I got your notice.
And was number three in the industry, but considered one of the major players and contributors to the industry. We went bankrupt.
Wow.
So for maybe 150 of us, we had a lot of recruiters all over us, and, you know, that's a blessing. But for the rest of the support team, they're sitting here at Christmas with no severance pay and no job, and in a market like we have today, not a whole lot of prospects for what they were well-trained to do.
Oh, anybody who's been involved in the mortgage industry is not having much luck job hunting right now. You're right.
Yeah. And then 3 days later, the number one company in the industry cried uncle and sold all of its assets to number four.
Wow. And for those of you who are not aware, Marshall is a reverse mortgage specialist. So the companies he's talking about are in the reverse mortgage business. That's kind of scary, yeah. Marshall.
Well, it's just like, I mean, to me, that small mom and pop restaurant hit personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I didn't think about it that much. But now, watching how far that 10-year treasury has gone this year.
Yep.
I mean, that is a tremendous change. And at the same time, FHA and Ginnie Mae put more burden on the industry participants that just essentially broke two companies. And fortunately, some of us were able to get on board with the number one, which is owned by a mutual life insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of resources, whereas those of us who were previously owned by hedge funds, they just said, oops, I guess that was a bad investment. We'll let them go. So,
Marshall, can I ask you, what will this mean anything to people who have dealt with the company that let you go, went belly up? They just make payments as usual, or they get payments as usual, I should say, in this case.
No, the fortunate thing is the way a reverse mortgage is insured by FHA,
mm-hmm.
even if the company that holds the loan, services the loan, goes under, FHA has the ability to immediately pick up the slack.
Okay.
And there was a concern for about 3 days that the December 1st payments would not be made to people who were expecting payment. They were made late, and a late fee was paid to those people.
Oh, good.
As part of funds going to them. But they had to get the bankruptcy judge to say, oh, yeah, you go ahead and continue doing that. We'll let you go borrow $1 billion to try to keep afloat long enough to sell everything.
Okay.
But it's, you know, it's a sad circumstance when the economy is being tweaked by, as y'all have said before, people at the Fed that have no grasp of the overall impact of what they're doing or when it's going to happen. It's kind of like if somebody could stick their hand out the window of the airplane, they would make about as much adjustment to the rest of the world as these guys have been doing.
Yeah.
other than the fact that they actually did have the ability to push the nose down. So, I don't know, I guess it's just, I'm bitter for all my friends who are really good at what they did, and now they're stuck.
Heck of a time of year to find yourself in that position,
oh, isn't
it?
Absolutely. Hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, but, it's a shame, but at least our listeners know that when you start hearing about all this stuff on the street, it will not impact anyone who's done business with you or others like you, and that's a good thing. Oh, and by the way, you kind of subtly managed to say that you're still in the business, too. So if anybody has any questions or wants to get a referral or anything, just let us know, because we stay in good touch with Marshall.
Absolutely.
That's a good thing.
I consider that a personal blessing.
Well, I thank you very much. We like to have trusted experts in every field that we don't do personally. So you're a valuable resource, and a good business is supposed to work that way. In my book.
Thank you, sirs.
Merry Christmas if we don't talk to you.
You as well.
Thank you. Yeah, these ripples are going to go through. And meanwhile, the Fed will be doing what the Fed does, hiding out with all their rich friends and not noticing how many people are starting to suffer. Mm-hmm. I just read a couple more layoff notices this week, too, and they're in the thousands of people.
Yep, it's definitely happening.
It is definitely happening. And they're not going to help. They're already behind in my book. They're behind pausing anyway.
Yeah.
They may be sneaking up on being behind easing rates. And a little bit of time will tell. That is no way to approach a soft landing by raising another half point next week.
No, it's just, it's the incompetence is, it's unbelievable from people who are quote unquote experts.
Yeah, now, I would say it's typical government, but I'm the guy who always reminds you that this isn't really the government. It's just sanctioned by the government.
Yeah, close enough.
It's close enough. When it comes to times like this, it's definitely close enough. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. I wanted to make a guess on the trivia.
Well, you be my guest.
Okay, I guess you had the guess on 2000, 2008, and that leaves 1975.
Well, now, you must be above 20 years old or so to remember something like that.
I'm 74, yeah.
a fine age, I believe. That is exactly right. 1974 and 1975, December started worse than it did this year.
For those of us that might be a little bit younger, what was the reason for that?
Well, there was Tricky Dicky, for one. And Jimmy Carter was on the scene or coming on the scene. And, you know, the damage that Nixon did to the economy, Mary, you probably remember. I don't even think it was fully understood for a long, long time. Looking back on it now, what that man did to us was absolutely horrible.
Uh-huh.
My opinion, anyway. And if anybody disagrees, I'll refer you to a couple of books to read that'll tell you exactly how bad. But that was excellent. You are the winner, and we appreciate it. And I'll put you on hold, and we'll get your address and send you out a little something from Mr. Bales.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks so much. Merry Christmas if we don't talk to you.
Merry Christmas.
And just FYI, there was a trivia winner a couple weeks ago, and if you're listening, we are waiting on Mr. Bales to get us some new cards to send out. So, and Mary as well, just hold on. We will get them out to you. It might be a couple of weeks, but we have a list. And
Adam
will
won't let him rest until we get our new supplies.
That's so right.
It might actually be closer to Christmas, which would be kind of nice. Everybody
sure.
likes to get things at Christmas time, right? All right, we're going to have to take another break, and then we want to talk a little bit about different things that are happening in the retirement industry that might be interesting to younger people, smaller investors, and that sort of thing.
And gig workers.
And gig workers, too. Absolutely true. But first, I want to do mention in the seconds before the break comes, I'm so proud of southern states that include Florida for just saying no to BlackRock because of their ESG policies. And that includes Louisiana, Florida, Texas, and
a few others.
So good for you, I say. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have Good Morning Al.
Yeah, good morning there to you. I'm calling about the energy credit that was supposed to, that was enacted earlier part of this year. Is the IRS put out any instructions or code on that?
Ooh, good question. I am not familiar with it.
No. Credit for what exactly? Are you talking
solar?
About
solar?
Energy credit. Didn't they have energy credit that they enacted in the IRA Act earlier the year, in the year?
It's not a provision.
Hot water heaters, air conditioning systems.
Oh, for the what do they call them? The energy efficient appliances?
Yeah, on new stoves and refrigerators and stuff
like
that.
Were,
I'm just wondering.
They were saying even you can get an energy efficient coffee maker and that kind of thing.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. But there is definitely, I just looked it up, and it appears that this thing expires in at the end of 2023, so there's still another year. It was actually enacted in 2019. It originally was 30%, and then this year it stepped down to 26% of the value of whatever it is that you bought. So, and then next year it goes to
22. Okay.
I got it. Okay.
So, all right.
So you should be good to go on that.
Okay. All right.
It's unfortunate that that's about how much the prices of these things have gone up during that time.
Yeah, that's right.
Also true.
Yeah. They're kind of bringing
it up. Yeah.
But it's an inflation fighter if you look at it. So, yeah, that's it.
That's kind of like the credit on the electric vehicles.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
$7,500 and they raised the price, well, about $8,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Go figure.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks
so
much.
It.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, sir. Well, Merry Christmas. Bye-bye now.
Yeah. All right, small retirement accounts. An interesting source is making one stab at it, I think. You've heard of this, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're probably familiar with the app called Robinhood. It got very famous during COVID for a ton of young people jumping on and with varying degrees of results trying their hand at investing. Some really bad stories out of that, some pretty fun stories too. Some millennials and Gen Z got very rich, at least temporarily, and then some of them went the other way. So they've had sort of a sordid history, but I think they've made some changes that have sort of tamed down, put some more restrictions in place on what people are and are not allowed to buy and sell on Robinhood. And they're making a case to be a legitimate, more recognized, more secure platform for trading. And they did something recently that caught my eye because I thought it was a great idea. They're trying to attract gig workers to use their platform as their retirement savings, for their retirement savings. And what they're doing to do that is they are allowing you to open an IRA and giving you a 1% match. So typically you get a match from working for another company. Robinhood is actually offering this for those people who are self-employed and don't get a match anywhere else. So I thought it was a really good idea. There are some caveats. You have to, it's a limited amount of people that can do this. There's a waiting list to get in. I can see why. It's free money. And so you have to be accepted into the program. The funds have to come from outside of Robinhood. You can't transfer them in from your brokerage account. And you have to wait 5 years, basically, for the money to vest. So much like a regular 401k plan. So I really thought it was a great idea, and kudos to them for thinking of this and implementing it.
Yeah, I like it. And in a similar vein, two senators and two members of the House have introduced a bill to do something that's kind of related, using an auto enrollment and a small percentage. They're advocating starting up Roth-style retirement accounts for younger people especially, and they would be matching funds. They would have a lot of the privileges that larger plans have. When it gets a certain amount, then you can go do something else with it, like roll it over to an IRA or something like that. But I thought the interesting comment in the article I was reading and this is by a representative named Smucker from Pennsylvania. Kind of wonder what family he's from.
I don't know.
You don't know for sure. But anyway, he says he looks forward to continuing to work on this in the next Congress and building upon successes of Secure 2.0 to help Americans become financially secure. So the implication to me as I read that is he's still very optimistic that Secure 2.0 will pass this year, and you all know how much I support that. So
it's really getting down to the wire at
this point. It really is. But they're passing a few things despite themselves. They're getting a few things done. All right, you think things are bad here? You should be in England. No, you shouldn't be in England, which is good because you're not, probably, if you're listening to this.
Most likely. It's possible.
It's possible, absolutely. The internet does reach far and wide. United Kingdom workers are gearing up for the nation's biggest strikes in at least a decade. Who is doing this? Nurses, ambulance workers, teachers, public transport workers, postal staff, and border officials, to name a few.
Ouch.
Yeah. They're demanding wage increases, and they want to keep up with the eye-popping inflation, so says the article, and a cheerless economic outlook. There's a new prime minister, hard name to remember and hard name to read, Rishi Sunak, something like that, who, by the way, is wealthier than the king of Brunei, but I just threw that in. They call this the conservative government. He runs the conservative government in England. Now, it's expected that he's going to impose minimum service level requirements, enforce tough new laws against strikers, limiting the services that striking workers can withhold, and he's trying to make a fine line between concessions and honoring wage demands. Does that sound like a conservative government to you?
Well, I mean, I don't think it sounds
sort of little here and little there.
I don't think it sounds like a liberal government. I mean,
not exactly. But you know, they had another prime minister for a few weeks.
That did not go well for her.
And she was a tax cutter.
Mm-hmm.
They want to raise taxes. Do they never learn?
No.
And that is, of course, a rhetorical question because, of course, they never learn. That led me to doing a little more research. How many of you out there remember Margaret Thatcher? You do give away your age a little bit, but if you're of a certain age, like, you know, me and many others, then you remember Margaret Thatcher very well. Thatcher and Reagan had very common outlooks on how things work, and they each knew that if you cut tax rates, you generated more tax revenue, because the economic activity that followed the rate cut would produce a higher gross income and a higher taxable income. Well, over time, as liberals are wont to do, they either spread rumors or they just flat out lie, and they say it over and over and over and over again. Theory being that if you say it often enough, it will become true. Well, that is, of course, absurd. It does not become true. But it becomes understood by enough voters that they can fool them. A few of the things that they lie about for Margaret Thatcher, one of them, she destroyed the manufacturing base. Well, actually, manufacturing output during her reign, I use reign because it's England, was 7.5% higher than when she got in there. Another one, she destroyed the union's power to protect workers. Absolutely not. She empowered union members rather than union leaders, and it worked out far better. And if you ever seen the movie Iron Lady, which if you haven't, do. England was in a real, real mess when she took over. Garbage piling up on the streets. Just a horrible, horrible time. And she fixed it all. But the big one, they said she lowered income tax so the rich paid less. Well, no. Lowered tax rates and the rich paid more. their share went from, the rate went from 83% to 40%, and they lowered the regular rate to 25%, and tax revenues went up because they always do every single time. Will they never learn? No, they will never learn. All right, lots more next week. A lot of things we didn't get to today, and I'm grateful because that always means we had a lot of callers, and after all, that's what we're really all about here. So we'll see you next week, same time, same station. Be here. Thanks for listening. This is the Bandwidth Finance.